TagCastPodcast.com.
Hey guys, today's episode is brought to you as always by our gracious sponsors at Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. Complete Ag Resolutions offer you the best solutions in all your agricultural needs. They're a family-based business where the customer always comes first. Check them out at facebook.com/completeagresolutions. And Pizza Now, they're ready when you are. They're at 1705 Southeast Hill Street. And I personally would suggest that you get the porcupine pizza. It's a barbecue base with a pulled pork and pineapple and red onions if you like that stuff. Check them out. They have a Facebook at Pizza Now Albany. You can call them up at 928-0900. You can check out their Twitter at Pizza Now One. So check out Pizza Now and Complete Ag Resolutions. And now listen to your episode. Hey, Gatch.
Yeah.
We're on iTunes. We're on TuneIn. We're on Stitcher. We're on the internet. We're on Facebook. We're on TagCastPodcast.com.
You just blew my mind.
Did you say blow?
Mind. I'm losing my mind.
And now, once again, it's time for the TagCast Podcast with Terry and Gatch.
Is it blow?
Yeah.
My name's Terry Gatch.
You know what you are? You give me leg monster!
You're a sexist, egotistical, lying, hypocritical bigot.
Hello, everybody. I can't speak.
My leg was right out in the middle of the street.
Did you know that I've seen your penis 6 times today? And his name is Dustin Gatchel.
Would you go to the president's office? Shit on his desk while he's watching right there on his desk.
We don't need idiots.
Ernest?
Good for nothings. Meth heads. Or
Bob.
I'm getting made for this, boys.
The TagCast Podcast starts right now. Shitting me timbers.
And welcome to The Sixth Sense. I am your host, Gatchel Abagoligus, and across the table from me is my other host,
the haunted Terry Guile. I feel like I have a major case of tinnitus right now. If you guys are listening in headphones,
yeah.
I hope that hurt your ear hole too, mm-hmm. because that's some weird feedback there. Neurosis from their latest album, At the Well.
At the Well. So we are actually the TagCast Podcast. We are not the Sixth Sense, if nobody figured that out, I guess, right?
Bruce Willis is not seeing dead people. Oh, wait, he was the dead person.
Yeah,
that's
well,
right.
Sixth Sense is...
Oh, spoiler!
Nikki Sixx's show, right?
That's right, it is.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Sometimes has he had Bruce Willis on his show.
Wow. I wonder if he had that little kid that sees dead people. What was that guy's? Haley Joel Osment?
Wow, yeah.
Pulled
was
that right
Osment
out of my
stuff? Or Almond?
I think it's Osment.
I was totally off on both of them.
Yeah.
I wasn't even close.
It was like a total mixture of the two. Yeah. Well, at least it's not Osmond. Donny Osmond.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, and I don't know. You saw that movie, right? I mean,
I thought it was
everybody.
Right. Oh, yeah. I actually, you know, I've been saying this a lot on the show, but me and my daughter went and saw that at the theaters.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, because that was like our ritual when I would get her every other weekend.
Uh-huh.
We'd go to the movies. And,
right on.
And she had actually shared with her boyfriend recently, the last time I saw her, about how we used to go like double and triple dipping on an afternoon. You know, we'd go pay for a ticket, but we'd know the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
We'd say, if we go to this movie, we'll get out and just go to the other theater, watch another movie.
Yeah, plan your day.
Yeah, and then we watch the first half of... the last half of Passion of the Christ, which is the good part anyway.
Yeah.
So one day we watched 2 full movies and the last half of Passion of the Christ. Just saw him getting tore to shit. We didn't get to see the setup or nothing. We're just like, kill Christ, kill Christ. Ah! We're like,
that's
Jesus.
Awesome.
I was like, Jesus, This is crazy.
No wonder no one wants to.
I know. Everybody kept going, oh, my God. Yeah. And I was like, I know. They're killing him, right?
Jesus. And it was Mel Gibson, like, beating him up, right?
Yeah, he was one of them.
Was
he? No. He was just the director.
He was just telling everyone what to do to
Jesus. Yeah, he's like, cut. No, you need to beat him harder.
Yeah.
Like he's Django Unchained mm-hmm. or something. You know, beat him. Like,
beat that.
Beat the Christ out of him.
Yeah.
Beat the ever-loving Christ out of him. My parents used to do that to me.
He was pretty liberal in voicemails that we've heard in the past to his wife and stuff about just being vulgar and...
Jesus?
No, Mel Gibson.
Oh, yeah.
So I wonder what he was like on the set when you're a director and you get, like, really pissed. He's like, you goddamn Jews, why can't you just beat them harder?
I know. He's running around in his underwear, throwing poop at people or something.
Was it the Jews that beat him?
Yeah.
I don't know that much about the Bible. I haven't actually read it, so.
Yeah. You should. Actually, I was trying to get some, just looking around for information mm-hmm. and stuff, preparing myself for the podcast, and... I came across a thing that I declined to talk about. We may talk about it someday, but it was a thing about the top five awesome miracles in the Bible that got deleted.
Oh, really?
And it was a little bit interesting, but yeah, that's I was reading a little bit about the Bible, and as I was reading that, I was thinking, man, I don't know shit about the Bible.
Now, this is
as
like
much as I went to church.
Through the ages, I mean, there's no book that was written personally by Jesus that is imprinted. Right? Like this is the Bible.
No,
it's a formation of the books
it.
Of stories of people that had a close connection with him, right?
Yeah, his disciples
mm-hmm.
and other people, but
and
who wished to
share his teachings with others.
The odd thing
right?
about it is, you probably heard this because it's been going around on the internet. The Bible was actually not written because they didn't have writing; they just had stories and
yeah.
stuff. It was not written.
Somebody started.
So it was written 900 years after it happened,
mm-hmm.
and the stories had been passed on for 900 years. So how accurate do you really think that it could
be? Yeah, that's the thing, right? You know, I mean, yeah, all those early history things. You know, even if you look at the Egyptian hieroglyphs and stuff like that. I mean,
yeah.
you know, history is written by. Well, I guess the people with the chisel, right?
Yeah, exactly. The people
not
with
necessarily
the
winners, just the guy with the chisel.
And it all started with just the mouth, you know. It's word of mouth, campfire
mm-hmm.
stories,
yeah.
family stories. Well, your great grandfather, he was Jesus' disciple,
mm-hmm.
and they walked around, and then whatever, you know.
Is that something you recently found out? Did we talk about that on the show?
I don't believe so. It's
right.
within the last 6 months, I think, though. Probably right. within the time. I don't know if it was before we started doing this podcast, which has been
almost 10 months.
It was May. Yeah, May, huh?
Yeah.
June, May, late May. Mm-hmm. Shit, time's
we're three
flying.
Quarters of a year because three season.
Yeah, we're coming up on, this is the last week of season three, so thanks for listening. It's Monday.
Yeah.
Hope you guys are
get
having
ready
a good
for
Monday.
A new season.
Yesterday, we had some sunshine hanging around. It's not so prevalent today, but...
Sunshine.
Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy.
Yeah. Is that the words?
Yeah, you remember that song? Sunshine on my shoulder makes me happy.
Sunshine, come and go away or whatever.
Oh, that's probably another sunshine. There's a lot of sunshiny
yeah.
songs. It's a sunshine day. Mm-hmm. Everybody's happy.
Sunshine of
sunshiny
your love.
Day. And the sunshine. Speaking of sunshine of your love, either tomorrow. No, wait. We don't have a show tomorrow. Either Wednesday or Friday, we're going to be talking about the albums of 1967,
yeah.
and that's one of them. Sunshine of Your Love came out that year.
Ooh, Cream.
Yep,
that
cream
was the cream
yourself.
Of Cream's career.
It was the cream of the crop.
Mm-hmm. It was. That was never an album by them, was it?
No, no.
Should have been.
Fresh Cream was one.
Creamed Corn?
No.
I always thought that should have been like a compilation album from Corn.
All doing Cream covers.
Mm-hmm.
Creamed
yeah,
Corn.
Oh, man.
There's an idea. Hey, Jonathan Davis,
yeah.
if you're listening, buddy.
Get off that
first off,
on South Park.
Turn the R around, okay? It's getting old. And number two, you guys should do a Cream album. It's called Cream Corn.
Is there any bands that do that these days? Speaking of logos, if you think about Motley Crue, every album they had a different font and logo style to their name.
Yeah, and most bands usually go a few albums at a time before they go with a logo change.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed that. Okay, Motley Crue had the first album was the slanted one.
It was very sharp.
Yeah, it was slanted and kind of lowercasey.
And then you had The Shadow of the Devil.
Which was that, or no, like with the dots, but it wasn't.
Yeah, but it was still kind of sharp, but it was on the top in the red, right?
And it was kind of almost the same font as the Shout at the Devil thing, huh?
Mm-hmm.
At the bottom.
Yeah, and it was very similar to the first album, I think, in sharpness, but I think it was altered a little bit. But then Theater of Pain was like...
They got all flashy.
It was all drippy, I think, and
yeah,
stuff, wasn't
and
it?
And the color was like purple and pink with those mm-hmm. theater faces on it. And we're like, I was like, what is going on right now?
Mm-hmm.
And then I just kind of went...
And then you heard Home Sweet Home.
My Motley Crue boner just kind of went...
Yeah.
And, you know, unfortunately...
Then Girls.
Yeah.
Dr. Feelgood, they had like the RX. Well, that's the doctor,
yeah.
right?
But and it was Motley still kind of chrome different. And drippy a little bit, too, yeah. on that one.
Yeah. And then Decade of Decadence, who was like it was cut out of paper or something.
I kind of like bands that have a definitive logo and stick with it, like Iron Maiden.
Well, yeah. I mean, you have to if you want, like, recognition.
Right.
Like, visual recognition from your fans.
And that's the cool thing about Iron Maiden is it is now a font.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it was never a font. It was hand-drawn, and those letters were all the brainchild, I think, of Derek Riggs, which is the guy who drew all their album covers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's awesome because... It's hard to come up with something, especially nowadays, because everything...
Oh, yeah. But it's an industry, though.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen that movie Helvetica?
No, but I had it in my queue, and I want to watch it. We talked about it months ago.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's all about that. And people that are, like, you know, they get down there with their pens, and they just got to change. And then you got to make sure, like, the R fits up if it's next to an N and an
A. Yeah,
because
I've seen some... fonts that really get screwed up when the letters aren't thought
out. Or they don't even have numbers with them. That it's just a box.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, you half-assed font giver. You know, I liked your font.
So you got like a V, and because of the way it goes over, there's a huge space between the V and the next letter.
Yeah.
I think all the letters should fit tightly together.
Well, that's what a pro font maker would make. And that's the ones that get published and are popularized are the ones that have that continuity and are well thought out.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
Friday the 13th, that's a font too.
Oh, from the movie?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was an originally drawn poster for the movie by some guy that we don't
yeah.
know his name.
How
probably.
Did they figure out what the other letters would look like?
They probably embellished.
Probably.
And that's a sucky thing.
Yeah,
kind of like with the Iron Maiden. I noticed that.
Yeah.
And I don't know what it's called. What do you know what the Iron Maiden font is called?
Probably just Maiden or Iron Maiden.
Or I'm a ripoff. I stole Iron Maiden's font and made it into a font. I think
yeah.
if anybody would have made it, it would have been Derek Riggs, but he probably doesn't even... Well, I'm sure he's...
Well, he might have just drew other letters and maybe had like a pro fonter like work with it to
yeah.
make them.
Because those letters, the ones that are in the name Iron Maiden,
mm-hmm.
they fit together like a glove. Now, if you took some other letters that were never used, there might be problems of how they fit together. Like the O is like... Kind of like a teardrop almost,
mm-hmm.
and the R fits right around it. They all just fit in together, and so...
I'm looking at your shirt, and I'm seeing the Napalm Death, and I'm thinking that would be a cool font. You got all the letters with that kind of, you know...
Yeah, with that scribbly thing.
Yeah, and then like all intercepting and everything. And
they have been pretty true. They went away from it in the mid-90s when they were kind of venturing out into different...
Yeah, they went through different styles and stuff.
They did,
right?
And they got a thing that was better to read, easier to read... Because their record company, I'm sure, was saying, you need something people can read. Because they're like, what does that say? Scribbly what? Scribbly death? Something?
Scribbly de gook.
Scribbly duke death.
Yeah. It's like, yeah. you're not, you know, I mean, they could have got away with the harder to read maybe if they were more black metal. Right?
Right. Yeah.
Because black metal bands, I have
God,
no clue.
Those Batman looking logos
yeah.
are just ridiculous. It just yeah. looks like a Batman with a bunch of tree roots.
You think Obituary should have trademarked it?
Well, I think
like the wing.
Yeah, well, Metallica almost, but not really.
Yeah,
but Obituary had more of the Y was rounded in the O, and it got smaller in the middle.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of people copied it.
I wonder who the first Batman logo band was. Hans.
Wow,
that's something for you to look into because you know Hans actually told me when I saw him that I remember we were talking about those Gator chips last week.
Uh huh.
He said they were called Crunch Taters. Ding! Light went on my head. They're called Crunch Taters.
Oh,
but they had a gator on them.
Mm-hmm.
And tater was spelled like gator, I think. Yeah. So there was something to do with a gator, and it had a gator as their little dude that said, "Buy me, I'm good chips."
And do you remember eating them while you had a gator on your?
I never had an Izod.
Oh, are they Izods or Garanimals?
The polo shirts with the little alligator. The Garanimals had different animals depending on what color.
I thought
color.
They had a crocodile on them, though. I guess I just associate anything like that with the Garanimals.
Right, because the Garanimals, depending on what color they were, had different animals.
Yeah,
like the green
they're
ones
color-coordinated.
The green ones might have been a gator, but Izods, you could get any color Izod. That's a
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
It's
now.
A preppy
yeah,
shirt.
Yeah, it's like a golf two-button shirt.
Yeah, and then it has a little alligator. We mentioned Izod.
Let's
Izod.
Get some of those for the TACCast.
Dude, we mentioned Izod last week when Lance was here. And last Monday, and you didn't know what it was.
Yeah, I didn't know.
You still
know.
Don't, but now you do. It's just a brand.
Yeah.
It was
I know the alligator. I just didn't know that that was the Izod. I guess I always kind of consider that the flagship animal of the Garanimals.
The gator. He's a gator.
Yeah. And so I think we should get some of those for the TACCast.
Yeah. TACCast Izods.
I'm going to go back a few minutes, and I'm going to say, Hans, can you create an entire font of the entire alphabet for the victims?
Yeah, because he's the one that made them.
Yeah.
Get busy, buddy.
Yeah.
We're working on a project. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hans, yeah, just get busy on that. We need some artwork, and also find out who had the first Batman logo that you can't read. Even if you could read it, I just want to know who got ripped off the most. And let's see, it is Monday, so we usually do a weekend recap. I had a really busy weekend I think you actually listened. I only got to speak for about 8 seconds, but I was
down there
on the donkey show.
I was giving a little bit of I was just having fun because we were listening online, Lance and I.
Yeah.
And the music that was on there wasn't the same, and Nickelback came on. It said Nickelback. And I was like, oh, no, I cranked it down without even, you know.
Right.
And then he's like, I haven't played Nickelback since
11:30,
yeah, or whatever
and
it was.
And then I guess he saw me, Marcus saw me answer, and then he probably checked his phone. And so as soon as he saw that I replied to it, he's all, because I said, Rage Against the Machine ain't that bad.
Yeah.
And he goes, oh, the only reason I replied that, like, I don't know if he was trying to make an excuse or what, but no, those guys were really cool, and they didn't know.
Yeah, I hope he wasn't, like, thinking I was slamming on his programming or whatever, because
they just probably press a button.
They probably get all that shit all the time anyway.
Yeah. He's like, I'd love it when they don't have a new album, so there's nothing in the top 40 that I'm required to play, because that's basically.
I know all that stuff. Yeah. I know that goes on.
And they hate it as much as anyone else, and they don't listen to the music in between. They have a timer going.
Yeah,
so
imagine they would.
They were actually recording some spots in between, like, because, you know, you got commercials, and then you got the songs for 10 minutes.
That's efficiency.
It was pretty cool to watch them, because they got, like, one of those things that it just comes up on the screen, and then they patch it all and edit it down to 1 minute.
So
it was cool to watch them mess up and then start over, and they were doing the Sleep Country ads and the different ones that they do, and
Sleep Country.
But we didn't know. He didn't know if Andy was going to show up. Andy Bradwin was in there, and it was his day actually, and then he did show up, but they said the last 2 weeks he was a no-show and didn't call, so they were giving him
a hard time. I thought it was you know, they didn't have you on very long, but, you know, they said that they would have you back. And they gave you a great introduction, and
they're
going to
plug
out for your show and get some airtime.
He said he's going to try to get me on at least once every couple weeks.
Right on.
So,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I'll be able to. I brought some stuff to plug, but he only gave me like about 10, 15 seconds, so I just plugged the Baghdad show. I'm going to plug our podcast, of course, and I'm going to try to get him to come on here as well. Maybe the both of them, or we could go down there. I don't know.
Guys on the video broadcast?
Yeah. What do you mean?
Well, sometimes they do the online video broadcast if they have, like, strippers in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, weren't you watching it online, you said?
Well, no, I was listening to the feed.
They got a live feed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I didn't.
You know what's funny?
Yeah, Lance and I were over. Well, he came over, and I looked up the website, and he clicked the button, and then started playing. So we didn't get any video. I didn't know.
Yeah, you go to donkshow.com, and then it says click on for the live stream.
Oh, okay. I think I just went to
And it's got, like, a four-camera thing, and this is a funny story that you mentioned that.
I've watched it before when the strippers are on there. It's weird because they just kind of sit there, and they don't. There's, like, no interaction. Probably because, like you said, the DJs are, you know, taking care of little work.
It's kind of crowded in there, you know. And so, anyway, I don't know. I think Pat found out. Pat Wambacher actually texted me when I was in there. And he's like, I could see you right now. And I was like, I can't remember what he said, but he's like, Quit texting, you phone tweaker. Because I guess it was in a commercial and I wasn't looking at the monitor to see that the camera was
actually... But the camera just stays on there. They don't go to commercial.
Yeah, and then it switches to someone. There's a guy in there, the other intern, that switches the camera angles when someone's talking or whatever.
Uh-huh.
But between the songs, they just leave it on. And so it was on me. And then after he said that, I was all... And then 30s, and for you that are listening, can't see, I was flipping off the camera, and then like 10 seconds later, I get in, he's like, I saw that. I was like, good, because it was for you. I think Jared must have told him, because Jared saw it on Facebook that I was going to be on there.
Jared messaged me and asked if I was recording it, and I don't know how I would do that.
You could record it on that, I think.
Yeah, I could plug it, yeah. Well, that's true.
Or even edit your computer.
But, yeah,
I didn't get to record it, but it was okay because I only got to do the one Baghdad plug.
We could probably find a recording of it, right, and send that over to Jared because he wanted to hear it.
Jared Nelson?
No, Jared Johnson.
He didn't listen?
Well, maybe he did. But he was asking if I was recording it, and I said, no, I'm not. And he said, well, you should. And I said, well, you should.
But, yeah, they let me plug that and talk for a second. That's cool. And they said, see, because Andy's moving to Boston, so... in about 2.5 weeks, so I'm getting kind of to take his place because has he been
over there before?
Oh yeah,
it kind of seems like where he's from.
No, actually,
or
he's
like
from
maybe
here.
Family.
He's got that's what I thought too, but he just has his best friend that lives out there.
Oh really?
And he's making the jump because comedy is more prevalent in Boston. There's a
bigger
lot
city.
Oh yeah, and he's been on the Northwest. He's been in the Northwest his whole life, so he's ready for a change, and he's taking the leap. He's got a job set up.
You got to do as a comedian,
couch.
You know, you got to hit and saturate one area, and then you can move to the next area, and that's like, you know.
He's got a couch and a job lined up, so and then he could get a house really quick. Yeah, so it's a good opportunity for him. So now that he's going to be absent, and Chris Castles has gone more often because he's busy with his career as well, I'm going to kind of step in there and try to further my career a little bit.
Awesome.
But, yeah. And speaking of that, I did go up to Portland, and I my wife wasn't feeling that well, and we had the godson, so I made a solo trip up to Portland. I almost called you and saw if you wanted to ride up to Portland and check it out, but then I just didn't because I thought you might say no, which is kind of a stupid thing. But
no, I probably would have. What day was it?
It was Friday night.
Friday night?
Yeah.
Trying to think of what I was doing Friday night.
You're sitting at home.
Oh, I was watching Shark Tank.
Oh, yeah, you wouldn't have went for no way. They do the Shark Tank Network. I heard about that. Shark Tank
Dude,
all
that
the time.
Dude, that would be awesome. I think it would, I mean, I watch it often enough.
Yeah.
I woke up the next morning and watched it again.
Awesome. Oh, the same episode?
Same episode.
Awesome. That's a true fan.
And then I watched, like, another one, and then I was like, well, I'm going to watch another one. And then, there was only five. I was like, well, I've seen all those, I think,
twice.
Watch
it again.
There was a weird one. These people made chicken dip. So like
good.
You blend it up chicken into a dip.
Like in a bullet or something? Like
yeah, well it was like a dip
like
for
chicken
chip
salad.
So you could have like a buffalo wing flavor with the chip. And man, the sharks went crazy. They're just like, I just imagine you throwing the whole chicken in there and hitting the button. There it is.
Yeah.
And the whole, oh man, they had tears coming out of their eyes. The sharks did, laughing at these people's idea. And I was like, that would have to be, it's already nerve-wracking that you're in front of these millionaire and billionaires.
Yeah.
Who hold your entire future in your hand. You're in the biggest, probably the biggest moment of your entire life for most of the people on there, you know.
Yeah.
Opportunity to fund their entire business and living. And they're just tears rolling out of their eyes because they're laughing at your idea so hard.
That's funny. That's kind of probably like embarrassing big time. You know?
Yeah,
like,
you just, yeah.
I'm a failure. I'll have to give it a shot. I've never watched it. What nights is it on?
Fridays.
Friday night.
You can watch it on Hulu.
Well, I can also DVR it. I'm not usually. Well, I'm home some Fridays, but next few Fridays though, I'm out. I'm doing stuff, and like I said, last Friday I got to meet. Well, I didn't really meet them all, but talked to a couple of them. There was five comics from Seattle who caravaned down to do the show.
Oh, yeah.
So it was kind of cool because usually when I do Portland, not that the Portland comics aren't awesome, but I've done shows with a lot of them. And usually when I'm doing a show, it's usually with people I've already done shows with. So it was kind of cool to cross-pollinate. They heard
you
my
get to
set.
See other comics and you get,
you know,
you know.
I
I mean, you love the local comics, but, you know, you've seen those sets a while.
Yeah, for sure. And I got a good response. I went on second. I did about 10 minutes, and I had a good bunch of laughs. And then the promoter and the host gave me kudos. I hope he wasn't just being nice, but he's like, hey, man, you really got him going after that first guy. Got the crowd started. Way to get the show started. He kept kind of patting me on the back. But there was one guy, though, and I was excited to see him because I noticed that he was a musical comedy guy. He had a guitar. And I'm going to be honest, he wasn't really that funny. His songs weren't that funny. And
well, that's why they're there, right? They're working on the routine.
They are. I mean, but this wasn't an open mic. You know, it was a showcase at the Baghdad Theater, which is kind of it's a long-running thing that's been going on every Friday for about 5 or 6 years. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I think that I've aspired to do that because I play music, and I also consider myself kind of funny. But it's really hard to get into that niche and write songs that are genuinely funny that are also good all the way around. Because if it's not super funny, you have to be really good musically and not miss a note and be a good singer. I think this is my opinion. And then if you're not that funny, or if you're super funny, you can be kind of mediocre at your
music. You can just go,
But this guy was kind of really mediocre, not that funny.
Maybe he was focusing like on the two things at once rather than having it come out as a whole or something.
And it was weird because he was kind of in the middle of all just regular stand-up comics. And so people were, they didn't laugh a lot. And I don't know. I don't mean to rip on anybody. But his name's Travis Kinney. He might get better. He's got two first names.
I'll check it out.
Yeah. You know. I don't even know if he's probably just the same level as a comedian as I. Maybe he has more experience. I don't know. I haven't looked up these guys.
Yeah.
But there was one guy that was pretty rudely hilarious. I noticed on his picture on the flyer he had an Anthrax shirt on and he had long hair. So I thought, you know, he's a metalhead. And after my set, I did some jokes about Black Sabbath and some other metal jokes. And he was like, right on, dude. That was awesome. But he was like really rude, like, and almost his demeanor reminded me of like a modern day Rodney Dangerfield. Like he kept saying, thank you. Like after you do a joke. And he had jokes like, you know what the best thing about a 19-year-old girl is? Her vagina. Just like every fucking bitch. He goes, and I like little, you know, he's talking about, I like young girls with small tits, and he's talking about sex and all this other stuff. And he's like, and I got up watching this fucking thing about Auschwitz the other day, and I just fucking all of a sudden I realized I had a boner. Like all these little skinny naked kids. It was really rude, you know. I was like, very edgy, and people were.
I mean, everybody thinks that, but nobody says it.
Yeah, and they're like, I can't believe this guy's saying that. Yeah, it was kind of funny though. And then the headliner, his name's Philip Schallberger. He's a funny dude from Portland, and a few months ago he got in a bad bicycle wreck and knocked like 10 of his teeth out and broke his jaw and fucked himself up really bad, you know. And so.
Oh.
Yeah, and he had a funny thing that he did. He's like, now that I'm kind of fucked up and it's hard for me to get work because of all my teeth and my jaw's fucked up. And so I'm trying to do more comedy, so I made some commercials. And he had some pre-recorded commercials on his iPod or whatever that he played. And then he kind of interacted with them as well. It was hilarious and very witty. I don't know if anybody knows who Philip Schallberger is, but check him out. These commercials like, are you looking for a comic who is witty and like just a great introduction of the perfect comic. And then he'd say, but blah, blah, blah isn't available. and someone really famous. He goes, so get Philip Schallberger. He's great at crowd work. And then he'd go, and then it would stop and he would say, excuse me. Yeah, sir. What's your name? He's like, Chris, what do you do? And he's like, well, he's like, I got nothing. And then the commercial comes back in, and he's like, he also does this, that. It was just funny. So he did like three of those commercials.
Nice.
And it was a great show. I had a good time up there. And then Saturday night, that was a smashing success. That was fun times.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Thanks to everybody who came down to the Dixie Creek Saloon.
Yeah, we raised some money and got a cool monster guitar donated to us.
Yeah, via, from a couple people through another person, so I don't know how I should say it. It was officially donated by
Valley local music scene from their coffers to ours.
Yeah, and through Ed to Shred, who also donated a pick.
Yeah.
And their cohort, Jason Kripe, who's helping out with all the fundraising events that go around. So thanks to everybody for coming out and buying raffle tickets, and thanks to Gatch for giving
me an hour saying thanks.
Yeah. Let's just say thanks. And I'm sure that you'll be having another one getting lined up here pretty soon.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to, we're doing a, I haven't got it set, but I'd like to have a public meeting on March 24th for it. And then maybe a live podcast taping afterwards, it being on a Sunday and in an afternoon setting. People may already be there.
Yeah, and if they know that it's going on, they might come down just to check it out and maybe sit in and talk on the internets.
Yeah.
My wife kind of got a kick, and so did my daughter while she was listening to Friday's episode. Uh-huh. Dana was on. And
that was a lot of fun.
Yeah, and it was random because Dakota walked in, and she's like looking kind of weird.
Yeah.
Like, why is my mom's talking? Why is she listening to herself talk? She's like, this is me on the podcast. And she's like, oh, and she sat right down and started listening to it. And then she was doing some other stuff with her phone, but she was still listening. And then it came to the spot where she said, oh, I got this cool melted crayon art from my daughter. And so she started talking about her daughter and saying, she's the best in this. And Dakota's like, oh, Mom, that's so nice. You talk about me on the podcast. And she's like, you should go on there sometime. I was like, well, the subject matter is usually a little bit racy. And she's like, I don't care. She goes, you and Dakota are hilarious when you guys start talking.
Yeah.
I go, so what? It would be no holes barred. I could just say anything. She goes, well, you know, you're a dad. You know what you could say and what you couldn't. It's like another comedian. He was pretty funny up there. He had a funny bit where he said his 11-year-old daughter asked him this question. He's always asking questions. Sick of the questions. And she's like, Dad, you know when someone like if you lose at something or if you get taken advantage of, they call you a sucker? She goes, what does that mean? What do they suck? And so people are laughing, and he's like, I just looked at her and had to tell her. The truth. I said, cocks, you dumbass. Which is kind of funny to his 11-year-old daughter.
So. That always reminds me, I don't even remember where this joke came from, but it might be Carlin.
Yeah.
With the my grandpa once told me I'm gonna go upstairs and fuck your wife. He wasn't gonna fool around. I just ruined the entire thing. He wasn't gonna bullshit a 3-year-old.
Yeah, you did fuck that up, didn't you?
Yeah.
That's all right. Just work on it.
Yeah. Well,
Work on your plagiarism. Did you get to listen to Carlin and stuff as a kid growing up? Or
not so much as a kid. I did later on, of course.
When
I was a kid, it was more like I listened to some Rodney Dangerfield that we mentioned earlier.
Maybe some Steve Martin.
Some Steve Martin I was into. Cheech and Chong. The Big Bamboo was always around the house.
The parents ever listen to Pryor? Was he a little too much?
I think I listened to some Pryor. Just on my own, it wasn't really around the house, but I was buying comedy tapes at a time, you know, when I was getting into Rodney Dangerfield and working out in the blueberry patch for 8 hours a day, needed something. That was about the time that Eddie Murphy was doing his potty at the time. It was really the boom of the comedy boom of the 80s.
Yeah, of the stand-ups being on HBO and having their own specials and stuff. I just watched Raw as I went to sleep the other night, Eddie Murphy's special from, I think, 84, the one that came out after Delirious.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty funny stuff.
Kinison was too, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was all getting big guys with his wild thing, and, you know, I was probably listening to some Tone Loc, too.
Yeah. But he wasn't a comedian, though, was he?
Well,
his raps were kind of funny.
Yeah. Monday, boom, Medina.
And then he like was in a handful of movies after Ace Ventura. Remember, he was in Ace Ventura. Tone Loc was.
Yeah, yeah. He's still.
Then he's in a few movies.
He might be in a show. Like
I think
one of
he
those.
Is. I think
one
he
of
is.
Those 300.
SVHIP.
Yeah. I still haven't seen the one with Paul Scheer, but I want to see that one. The one on Comedy Central, I think it is.
Yeah.
Or Adult Swim.
I saw you watch that Kroll show. What do you think about that? I answered for myself before you.
Interesting.
It was okay.
You know, I mean, I was reluctant to watch it because I don't watch a lot of Comedy Central anyway.
Yeah.
You know, and
people always tell me
shows.
Workaholics is so funny, and I don't get into it.
I haven't
even.
I've tried a few different things, and you know, I just stare at that guy's hair.
Yeah, that's weird. That's
yeah,
kind of what
it's
I like.
You know, that's only so many laughs.
Yeah,
and so, but yeah, and so I was just on the other day, happened upon the Kroll show, and it was that strip scene. Have you seen that one?
I'm not sure.
Well, it's actually at a strip club, and there's like strippers. It's a comedy show, basically. You know, I think it was performed live for somebody's birthday. It said at the end, but it was interesting. He was like Edison, and he'd come out, and then he was like pulling this string of those like ball lights that have every. 3 or 4, it was all dark, and he's right. All pulling this out and is wrapping around a chick, and you know, and so it's very interesting because I remember Kroll on Comedy Death Ray, and he would come in as some of those characters like Fabrice.
Yeah, he does
and,
that a lot on the show.
Bobby Bottle yeah. Service.
Yeah.
Even and he would come in, and it was obvious that he was dressed up as that character when he came in, because he'd talk about, like, encounters on the way.
Right.
And so seeing it on the TV and seeing how... Because he does really well with, like, the long-form kind of comedy sketches.
Right.
Which is kind of cool, like the ponytails one I saw. Did you see that
yeah,
one?
Yeah, that was pretty good. Men with Ponytails.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the other one where it had Annie Milonakis on it. Did you see
yeah,
that one?
I saw.
And he was his friend who was Cesar or Caesar.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Caesar.
Yeah. And he was like boating his mom.
Yeah.
Or something. Yeah. That was kind of funny. But
yeah. Caesar the something or other.
Yeah. And it was just like C-Czar.
Oh, yeah.
That was pretty funny. I kind of agree with you.
He makes pretty funny characters
yeah.
in it.
I wasn't expecting
he can
flesh
that. Flesh him out, which is cool.
I wasn't expecting that when I watched his. There's a special of his that's on Netflix, just his stand-up thing. But he does like opens for himself with another character, and then has another character come out. So yeah. Kind of, I didn't know that he was so character-driven. I'd only seen him on The League.
Yeah,
I don't know if
yeah,
he's on
yeah. I knew of him. He was a regular on the Comedy Death Ray. I figured he just lived down there, and I think that's what he does that you see on the show. He just. One day he just like, I'm going to be this guy. I'm going to go and talk to people on the street.
Yeah.
And fucking
yeah.
Just have fun with it.
Do you know how to say that one guy's name that's coming to Eugene? Steve Pazabzizis with all the Z's in his name from
the
league?
The one guy from.
From the league.
Yeah.
With
Razminini?
Oh, is that what it is?
Razminini.
Yeah, okay, there it is.
I don't know.
He's going to be at McDonald Theater on Wednesday. That's just.
Yeah, I heard he was coming around.
2 days away. And did you hear Marc Maron canceled?
Oh, really?
His Eugene
what happened
appearance.
There?
I said it was a scheduling conflict. I'm guessing low ticket sales.
His cat.
Yeah. But I don't know. I was thinking that Seth and Dylan were going to try to get an interview with him, but they might be going to Portland because he's going to be up there. But I don't know. And
I was going to look something up, but I forgot what it was.
Damn it.
Oh, it's the Steve and the Razzamanini.
Oh, Razzamanini. Right on. Well, while you look up that, I will change gears here and talk about something that I heard over the weekend about Slayer. Any Slayer fans listening? Yeah. Isn't that terrible? That's a bummer. It was like a shot to the heart. And Carrie's to blame. He gives metal a bad name. Slayer
you know
news. Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
Slayer bringing back a former member to replace Dave Lombardo on their upcoming Australian tour, which actually started Saturday night. And they have denied claims made by Dave Lombardo about why he won't be taking part in the tour. The band confirmed that they will be bringing back their mid-90s drummer John Dette to play on the tour. And check this out. Dette will also be filling in on drums for Anthrax on the same tour. Now, wouldn't that be fucking weird?
Yeah.
I play for Slayer and Anthrax every night. So anyway, that's a side note kind of, but he played on a tour in between after Boss Staff quit and before Lombardo came back. But Lombardo made news last week when he explained that the band informed him via their lawyers that he would not be a part of the tour after he questioned the distribution of the income from their touring and asked to make a new deal.
But what he had said what happened was that... He was at practice and no one was showing up, and then he got a text from somebody saying,
"Yeah, but they
from
talk-
his manager,
yeah,
but going, had- you're out."
They talked before that, though.
They had talked before yeah. that, and but I don't think that they were at that level of disagreement, though. I think
no.
that they were just at he, odds about what he, they wanted to do.
He said that he hadn't received any payments for 2 years of touring yet, and so he just mm-hmm. kind of inquired about it. I don't. It's hard to say. It's kind of a he said kind
yeah,
of thing.
Yeah, well, he said that he did some investigating and found out the band was getting 10% from total touring.
To split between the four of them.
To split between the four of them. So him and Tom hired an outside firm to look into...
Why? Yeah.
And then
Kerry
when that
King
was concluded... They said, everything's on the up and up, and we will not let you see the report, is
yeah.
basically what they said to
oh,
Dave.
Yeah, we looked at it. It's correct. You guys just get 10%.
And Terry was just like, don't even question it. We're not going to change anything. Don't question it.
Maybe he is.
Why wouldn't he be concerned?
Well, he has a lot of side shit going on, like the KFK Industries and all that other stuff. And
yeah, but why wouldn't
deals?
He be concerned about, like, not getting the full basically someone else filching money out of what they're working on, right?
Yeah, and then getting rid of the drummer just because he's trying to make waves. Well, I don't know, but after the whole thing went down, they publicly addressed the issue with this statement.
All right.
They said Slayer confirms that John Dete will drum for the band on the Australian tour that starts February 23rd in Brisbane. As regards to Dave Lombardo's Facebook post, Slayer does not agree with Mr. Lombardo's substance or the timeline of events, except to acknowledge that Mr. Lombardo came to the band less than a week before their scheduled departure for Australia to present an entirely new set of terms for his engagement that were contrary to those that had been previously agreed upon. Now, it's starting to sound to me kind of like the Black Sabbath thing. Like, he said, hey, this contract is unsignable. I want to change it. I'm the drummer, but I'm an original member
yeah.
that has been here since the beginning.
I just found out about it maybe a week before. Hey, let's get this looked into, worked out
yeah.
for the better of the band
yeah.
before we go on tour is probably what he was, probably his point, right?
Yeah.
And the other guys, Eric Carey was probably like, fuck it for now. We're going on tour. Don't worry about it now. We'll probably do it later.
Yeah, and the statement goes on to say that the band was unable to reach an agreement on these new demands in the short amount of time available prior to leaving for Australia. And there is more to the account than what Mr. Lombardo has offered, but out of respect to him, Slayer will not be commenting any further. Slayer is grateful to its Australian fans for their understanding of this unfortunate last-minute change and very much looks forward to seeing them at these shows. So I don't think that it's a done deal. Lombardo might not want to go back after this, but I don't know if it's a part-time thing. But, yeah, I had read the same thing that
yeah,
you
I don't
said.
Think it was,
he
well,
showed up
he
at practice
wasn't.
At 1 o'clock and waited until almost 6 and then finally got a call
yeah.
from the lawyer saying, oh, Kerry's not coming to practice and you're not going on tour. That's bullshit.
It's he didn't get kicked out of the band. He just got kicked off the tour.
Right. But I'm thinking if you get kicked off a tour for asking about the contract.
Well, finances.
I would say,
and in the band.
Well, you know what? You guys fuck off.
That's the thing. I mean, just not being open with the finances there after the audit looks sketchy.
Right.
And, you know, I understand the band has to make a statement, but I would like to have heard from Kerry himself and,
well, yeah, and it
maybe,
sucks.
Maybe even Tom himself to see his.
That statement was probably arranged by a publicist and approved by the band, but I would like
voice.
To hear an interview with Kerry with his voice saying, look, this is what happened. And they're saying out of respect for Dave Lombardo, they're not going to elaborate on the circumstances because it's not our business really, I guess, but I'm sure it'll all come out. There'll always be two sides
maybe
to the story.
Maybe they don't want to end up being vicious.
Yeah. Because they could say, well, this is what it is. He was asking for more money, you know, and then they make him look out like, are you in Slayer because you're in Slayer? Or are you only in it for the money?
Maybe it's just a thing that he just wanted. He was adamant and stubborn about wanting to restructure before the tour with a week left, and they didn't want to worry about it then.
Yeah.
They were like, look, we'll
We don't got time to deal with this shit right now. Mm-hmm. We got to focus on our, because they already got Gary Holt, you know, from Exodus. Mm-hmm. They don't have just, so it's only half of the original band. Mm-hmm. And some fans are like, fuck that. But they probably would still go. But anyway, enough about that. If you guys got any thoughts about Slayer, chime in on our Facebook or contact at tagcastpodcast.com. Let us know what you think about the whole Slayer debacle.
Yeah, send us a letter, Stephen Ranasizi.
Yeah. And if that's not how you say your name right, then come on.
Ranasizi.
You can come on our podcast.
Ranasizi.
Ranasizi.
Zisi.
Ranasizi. Right on. Well,
it's easier to say Aziz and Sorry.
Yeah. Aziz and Sorry and Steve Aziz. What if they toured together?
What if the
ZZZZZZ tour?
What if Aziz and Sorry said, "Oh, geez, I'm sorry."
Yeah, he would. He goes, "You know who I ran into?" And he kicked me accidentally.
No. Uh-huh.
It was Aziz and Sorry, and he said, "Oh, geez, I'm sorry." That's perfect. That's a skit right there.
It is.
Aziz,
where are you,
Aziz.
Nick Kroll?
Aziz, Aziz, Aziz.
Write that.
Did I talk about wanting to start a band called ACD or ACZZ? It's all ZZ Top songs played in the form of ACDC.
So they'd all be three chords?
Yeah, and they'd have... Oh! Step outside my sleeping bag! Yo! I can't sing like Brian.
That would be
Johnson
really tough
anymore.
To do, to sing ZZ Top in the style of ACDC.
She got legs! Just think about it longer. The more you think about it, the idea
just
blows up in
my head. I'm just trying to think of the 25 ladders.
It's going
to
be
25 ladders on my wrist, and I got to get paid. Yeah.
Oh well, that's enough of that. Let's jump over to Slippy.
They've
birthday.
Had to have covered a ZZ Top song.
ACZZ?
ACDC has had to have covered like Tush or something.
You think
right?
So?
I think they probably
they
have.
Came out
yeah.
around
just
a few
something.
Years. After. Yeah, you think ZZ Top's ever played like Sin City?
maybe
I'm
that
going
one.
In to Sin City.
Interesting. They should do a split single.
Yeah, ACZZ.
Yeah,
we're covering the full spectrum from AC to ZZ.
So you were talking earlier about comedy. What about stuff like that though? Why don't you do that?
Just comedy bands that are. Like,
well, no, you're talking about like wanting to try out a musical comedy form.
Because everything I've ever tried to do is not that doesn't seem like it work. It doesn't seem that funny to me. Maybe music's too serious to me.
Hmm. Well, I
joke
don't think
around,
that kind of a thing would hold for a whole song. But what you know, you could
little parts.
You could set up the thing like. What if AC/DC and ZZ Top balls?
Oh, kind of like
you could play like a few little bars and do it.
Kind of like Jimmy Fallon would do on Weekend Update on Saturday Night Live back in the day before he was a correspondent. He'd come on, he'd say, and he'd just do like the chorus and switch the words to it or something like.
Yeah.
Just think if.
Because you got to be right into the lyrics if you're doing comedy songs. You know, you can't have a huge intro or anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's about the lyrics. You got to be right there with the lyrics.
Yeah. It's like that guy that I was talking about. He was just like. Had this song about hanging out at the mall and watching this chick bending over the fountain and how he was wishing that the water was his dick. The water in the fountain. Which is just... It was
I don't
like,
know how that would work.
I don't know either. I wish that water was my dick. It was kind of like a Jack Black ripoff almost, but just like... Mm-hmm. I don't know. I gotta stop talking about that guy. Anyway, let's jump over to celebrity birthdays. Today... is the birthday of a famous celebrity wrestler, Ric Flair. Was he one of your favorites back in the day?
That doesn't... I was going to try to make the Ric Flair noise, and I do believe in what
you
it
went,
was.
You went, oh!
Oh, yeah, because I was like, that's not it.
No. If anybody has the Ric Flair noise down, call our... podcast hotline. Maybe Bobby Jordan. Maybe you could do it.
Oh, yeah. Well,
Ric Flair. Now, how old...
Well, now it's a... Which is about what mine would be after one of my asthma attacks.
So, he was popular in the 80s, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's been around since, I think, the 60s, hasn't he?
Well, that's why I'm trying to get you to get your little brain work going.
All
that
right,
you always
yeah.
do for how
okay.
old do you think is... You're like 84,
well, gonna,
he was probably 30.
I'm guess how old Ric Flair is. I'm going to go with 72.
What? Not 76 or 50? Those are your two predetermined answers.
They usually are. I'm going to go with the 72,
he's
though.
He's like, I'm going to say he was wrestling for WWE like 1984. Yeah. That was 29 years ago.
Well, you know, all right, I'm going to say that I used to go and watch wrestling extravaganzas, and he was at least in his 40s in the 80s.
So he's 80?
That would be like 88 when I stopped going to extravaganzas, probably, because I would be about 12 to be in middle school.
There we go.
And so, you know, he's probably in his 40s when 88, so about 48. Well, I mean, really, I add a little extra on there.
The Gats computer.
We'll just go, he's 72, yeah. I'm going to say he's born in 41.
Rick Blair is officially 64 years old. Miscalculation. Yep.
My mom had the hugest crush on that guy.
You did?
My mom.
Oh, your mom. Oh, that scared me. Your mom.
Well, you know, at all his matches, he would always get his pants pulled down.
Oh, he had like a huge wiener, too. Yeah. He had a nice butt, didn't he? So says your mom.
He showed
it
off a lot.
Yep. Also, birthday today, John Doe. Just a random guy. No, from the band X, you know, X. And I talked to, like I said, Pat Wambacher. He was sad that he didn't get to go see X. They were recently in Portland at Dante's with Exena Cervenka back in the day, huh?
Yeah, but I didn't know. I don't know. The
you
significance of X is lost on me because
I never liked him.
I never really was introduced or had that experience with him.
Me neither.
But I know that Pat liked him, and yeah.
That's kind of the only reason I mentioned John Doe. And the only reason, I'll just say it, he's 59, because we don't even know anything about that guy. I don't, anyway. But anyway, we talked about this comedian last week. It's his birthday today. Carrot Top.
Oh!
Happy birthday, prop comic.
Yep, Carrot Prop.
Yeah, Carrot Prop. He should change his name to that.
He should.
Carrot Prop, and he could just have one big carrot as his prop. Yeah. So do your math on him. How old do you think old Carrot Prop is?
His eyebrows are much younger than him.
Yeah.
That's weird. Are those tattooed on?
I don't know, but they're weird. And his face just looks all Botoxed out or something. Yeah.
Well, why does he want to...
His facial...
What's with the goddamn black eyebrows, dude?
I don't know, man. He's got red hair.
Look like...
A carrot.
I don't know. Carrot Top. When did
you think he's older than me?
Probably around 90, 91.
I was
probably just a kid there, maybe about 24. From 91 would be 87, 67. That puts him at 45.
Boop, 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 boop. Very close. 48.
Wow.
48.
I should have added those few extra years that I'm always off.
Yep. And then I guess E-Star. I guess she's got a new, I don't know how new, but she's got a show now, I think, on regular TV. Chelsea Handler.
Ah.
And I don't have any beep bop ba boop bops for her because who knows where all she was when she was. What do you think? You should just blurt out a number. Just look at her in your head. Imagine her naked.
70.
76. No, she's 38.
Wow.
She's a youngster.
That's younger than I thought.
Yeah.
You know, if you go to talentlesscunt.com, it goes to her website.
I wouldn't doubt it because she is.
Someone else bought it. And pointed it there.
That's awesome. I'm going to post
that. And that is widespread news on Kevin Smith and his podcast stuff.
Sweet. Thanks, Kevin, comic guy.
Well, it's actually one of their fans.
And local guy John Wilson, also known as J-Dubs, flugelhorn, part-time flugelhorn player for the Pojama people.
Oh, nice.
He just sets in on a few songs when I saw him at the Wow.
So. I'm going to guess...
I have no idea.
43.
I don't think so. I think he's younger than that. But I don't even know. So happy birthday to you, J-Dubs. That's a funny... he was my friend on Facebook for like a couple weeks, John Wilson. Uh-huh. And then all of a sudden I was looking at my news feed and I had all these posts from some dude named J-Dubs. And I was like, to my wife, who's this J-Dubs guy? And then I got to look at it. It was just John Wilson. Changed his name to J-Dubs. Which is good because, you know, J for John and Dubs for Wilson.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that guy, I guess.
I don't know him either.
Oh.
I mean, I know him. I met him once, but he's not my friend or anything. He's my friend on Facebook. That's it.
All right. Are you familiar with...
Yes, I am.
the guy from Tony Sheridan.
The name sounds familiar.
Well, he was a British singer-songwriter and guitarist, well known for his work in the Beatles in the early days, and then went on.
Oh yeah, they did a couple albums with him before they were the Beatles, right?
Mm-hmm. How old was he?
76. What do you mean? How old was he
when he died?
Oh,
sorry, we're going into deaths.
Oh man, you gotta let me know what's up. How old was it? When did he die?
February 16th.
Okay, I'm going to say that he was 82.
Well, let me see. It says he died in 2013, and he was born in 1840.
You're making me do... Nah, that's incorrect.
No, that's what this says. Born 1840, but it said he was 72.
That's 170.
I know.
That dude was fucking old. You know, Moses lived to be about 900 in the Bible.
You know what's crazy is that they do not know the cause of his death. It's not immediately clear, but they were able to deduce that he was died at exactly noon.
Wow.
12 p.m. on the dot.
That's good to know. That's good to know. All right, we better get this out of the way before I forget. Because if I forget, I'll be pissed.
The CD player. Find out now and we'll find out later. What's in Hans's CD player? It's always something cool because you know he's a player.
He's such a player. Okay, so Hans is always listening to weird, not always, but like he always throws me a curveball. Now, this isn't really a curveball. I guess that's tomorrow.
All right, let me guess. 50.
Like, no,
that's the wrong song.
No. But today he's listening to Torch, with an E. You know those guys. They recently
familiar
played
with them. Oh, why would he like Torch with an E, but not the Flaming Lips? Those things are both hot.
Well, Torch is way different musically than the Flaming Lips.
All right,
but he's listening to Harmonicraft. That's a weird. I don't even
Harmonicraft
know.
Or
Harmonicraft. It's one word.
Harmoncraft.
Harmony.
Is it a Mark Harmon?
Hans!
Reference?
Hans!
It's a Mark Harmon reference, right?
No, it's a harmonica.
Harmoncraft.
No, it's like a crafty harmonica.
Oh, yeah, it's a paper mache harmonica. I think that would fall apart.
Once you blew in it, huh?
Yeah.
You gotta keep your mouth dry when you're playing with that. Oh, Lordy. So, yeah, sorry, Hans. You know, he gives us these CDs that I can't pronounce, mm-hmm. and then it's the next day it'll be some band I've never heard of, so it keeps us on our toes, that Hans, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Ouch.
Yeah, I don't have
I just broke my jaw.
I don't have a band for him. I just want him to do the complete alphabet for the Void.
What? Okay, font. Okay.
Yeah.
That's going to take him a while. Well, there's a lot of letters in Victims of Internal Decay.
Mm-hmm. Well,
which letters are missing? Z?
I guess I was thinking more of the... Oh, wait. I'm picturing the old school, like, blocky letters, not like the...
Oh.
The intricate.
Oh.
Because that would be... Yeah, that would be insane.
He didn't make the blocky letters.
Oh, he didn't?
No. That was pre-Hans art days.
Oh,
that was like
all right.
Jerry Murphy. It was Jerry Murphy, dude.
Oh well, the chances are of him getting anything.
He ain't drawing shit for us.
Come on, Jerry.
Here's the deal, Jer. If you don't, I'm giving you an ultimatum. If you don't draw something for us, you can't come back on the show ever.
Oh,
now that might because I know he enjoys coming on here, and I enjoy him coming on here too because he always brings Jägermeister and,
mm-hmm.
and
I do too. I
like real sugar soda, soda with real sugar. You like Jerry?
Okay.
I like Jerry.
So, yeah. All right. So, that's laying it down. Is there like a requirement that it has to be?
What?
The art. Does it have to be or could it be just like a scribble on it?
No, I thought we were trying to get him to do the Void alphabet.
Oh, yeah. Or a caricature of us. Or
both.
Well, that would be pretty tough.
I don't know. He's going to get mad at me. He stopped by my house out of the blue, like a friend does. I was just—he was in the area, so he stopped by and we chatted for a while. So, I shouldn't be such a dick, I guess. But I mentioned that to him, how Jason Lay had said he'd try to get something drawn by him for 2 years and it never happened. He's like, dude, if I sit down and try to draw something, it's just like, it's so forced and like, it just comes to me sometimes. And I was like, that's a true artist right there.
Yeah.
You can't
Artists are fickle.
I'm an artist.
Fickle. And I'm fickle.
What does fickle even mean?
I don't know. I like we're using words that I don't know the meaning of. I just have heard them in context a lot.
That's a good thing to do. That makes you smart.
If I'm online and I see that, sometimes I'll highlight it and go search Google and look it up.
Yeah, I got a thing in my Kindle that if I come to a word in a book that I'm reading, I can just double tap on it, and it just gives me the fucking definition.
You should look up talentlesscunt.com on there.
I think
it's hilarious.
Chelsea Handler.
Yeah.
And on that note, I think that's about an hour, ain't it?
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening, you guys. It has been a wonderful Monday. I feel a little stuffed up.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done so much coke this weekend. Hey. I did so much coke Saturday night at the Dixie.
I did, too.
Dude, my head was swimming.
Oh, yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah. I did some.
Tune back in on Wednesday. We've got a special guest, and we're going to talk about albums of 1967.
What?
It's before we were all born.
That is true.
Of course, our neighbor, podcast neighbor, Lance Thill, was born in 67.
Really?
And he holds a special place in his heart for that year. So I was hoping he was going to come over, but I doubt it.
The TagCast podcast can be heard on iTunes,
Stitcher,
TuneIn Radio,
and our website,
TagCastPodcast.com.
You can also hear us rebroadcast on internet radio station Rock Out Radio on Friday evenings. Find us on Facebook and review us on iTunes.
Help support our show. Donate directly on our website.
Or click on our Amazon affiliate link before you shop there.
TagCastPodcast.com.
Pluggy plug. Hey, all you taggots. How are you guys doing out there? You got your concerts coming up, comedy shows, music. You guys want to get out and do something fun? Of course you do. You don't want to sit at home like a stick in the mud. Wednesday, February 27th, it's the Oak Street Speakeasy Comedy Showcase. It's Andy Bradwin's going away show. He's moving to Boston. So I'm sure it will be most of the usual suspects of the Eugene comedy scene, including myself, Mac Chase, Carmichael, probably Jason Eifler, Dylan Flynn, and, of course, your host, Seth Milstein. That starts at 9 o'clock. It's a 21 and over show, $5 suggested donation. If you're broke, it could be free for you. Friday, March 1st at the City in Eugene, it's the prelims for Oregon's Last Comedian Standing, Survival of the Funniest, 2013. 2222 MLK Boulevard in Eugene. It's a free show. It's 21 and over, 8 o'clock. Saturday, March 2nd at the Dixie Creek Saloon. It's the benefit for Brooklyn put on by the Willamette Valley local music scene. Got a slew of acts including Lyndon and Amber Wood, the Milestoners, Ed to Shred, Strange Dichotomy, Bikini, and the High Desert Hooligans. It all starts at like 5 o'clock for a couple hours of all-age action, if you come with your parents, and then after 7, it's 21 and over. It's a free show, a fundraiser for a great cause. Saturday, March 16th at the Wow Hall in Eugene, it's We Have Guns, Tall Boy, 30-Pound Test, and Audiophobia. Tickets are on sale at the Wow Hall and online. Check that out and go see that show. If you're not in the Eugene area and you're down or up here by Albany, go to Tangent at the Dixie Creek Saloon. We got Wicked Haven with Crimson Guardian and Bikini. It's a 9 p.m. show, 21 and over, also free. Saturday, March 23rd in Portland at the Hawthorne Theater, it's Nile with Ceremonial Castings and World of Lies. Featuring my buddy Tony Avila. You should hit him up on Facebook. He's on my friends list. He can get you a discount on some tickets for that one.
Sweet.
March 26th, it's Graves at Sea, Ash Borer, Aldebaran, and Ephraim, I can't even say that name, so forget it. It's at the Ash Street Saloon. I can say that, though. It's $8. That's up in Portland. It's a Tuesday night for some doom. Wednesday, March 27th, at the Cosmic Pizza in Eugene on 8th, it's Pajama People featuring Ike Willis doing two sets of Frank Zappa's great music. I will be setting in for a few tunes on bass guitar. Thanks to Glenn and those guys for giving me the chance to jam with Ike, a legend, a living legend. Thursday, March 28th at the Granary, it's Comedy as Advertised with your host, Seth Milstein. I will be on that show as well, and we will have the lineup of comedians coming soon, as soon as the information becomes available. It's a 9 p.m. show, also free. March 29th is a Friday at the Crystal Ballroom, Anthrax, Exodus, Municipal Waste, Holy Grail, and High on Fire. That's up in Portland. I'm lucky enough to have a VIP pass with my name on it, thanks to Dave Forsythe, my buddy down in Reno, Death Metal Dave. So we're going to be talking maybe with the dudes from Anthrax and Exodus that night. It should be good. The next night, March 30th, it's a Saturday night at the Roseland Theater, Clutch and Orange Goblin. Don't have any information except that's an awesome show and you should check it out and go to it if you have the chance. Sunday, March 31st at the Actors Cabaret of Eugene, it's the 18th annual Laugh-Off. It seems expensive at $20 a head, but all proceeds go to the Green Hill Humane Society. This is like the 18th year in a row. They will name the funniest person in Eugene. I will be performing at that. It's 18 and over, 7 p.m.
What's the charity?
Green Hill Humane Society.
I'll give some cat hat, Santa hat cards.
I will bring them down there.
All right.
So, yeah, you guys get out and do something fun. There's so much to choose from. And then when you get home, you can listen to more of the TagCast podcast at tagcastpodcast.com. Hope you guys have a wonderful evening.